Hello and welcome to Will You Still Love It Tomorrow? I'm Annie. In each monthly main episode, my husband Dave and I take it in turns to pick a film, a book or a TV show we were a fan of before we were married and that the other one doesn't really know. Then we both watch or read it and come together to discuss our reactions. There are usually lots of spoilers. As you might have noticed, Dave isn't here today, and our next scheduled episode isn't due to be released for 2 weeks. When we started this podcast back in 2019, I used to do mini episodes on my own, where I'd pick something I'd reviewed sometime since 2005 when I started posting all my reviews online, then reread or rewatch it and compare my reaction to my original review. I've decided to resurrect these interim episodes, at least for the time being, with a focus on books or films I either don't remember having read or seen at all, or that I remember having a strong reaction to. And I may also do some episodes in a different format discussing other book-related or media-related stuff. The reason for this resurrection is because, in the year of our Lord 2024, I have discovered BookTube and fallen down the rabbit hole of watching other people discuss books in online videos. Yes, it's official, I have reinvented the secret of fire and everyone will worship me forevermore. Anyway, this obsessive BookTube viewing has inspired me to dig a little deeper into my media reviews, and rather than starting a YouTube channel of my own, because just no, it occurred to me I could create similar content as part of the Will You Still Love It Tomorrow podcast. I had the amazing idea of looking at my reviews catalogue, picking some books and films I'd read or watched a long time ago and couldn't really remember, and then revisiting them and comparing my reactions. And that was when I discovered I'd already had that idea 5 years ago and produced 13 solo episodes with that exact format. What can I say? Great minds think alike, even if it's actually the same mind 5 years apart? So I've been really enjoying trawling through my spreadsheet of everything I've reviewed in the last 20 years and picking out a ton of exciting stuff I'm really looking forward to revisiting. And it's weird how often I've come across a well-known book or film I would have sworn I've never read or watched, and seeing it immortalised in a spreadsheet cell that cannot lie. I have also noted down some ideas for other types of content based on the videos made by my favourite booktubers, so if doing a deep dive review of something every month gets too much, like it did after a year last time, I might intercut the reviews revisited episodes with snippets of other stuff. One of which is this episode, which is looking at the number of book series I'm officially in the middle of and figuring out what to do about it. This is something that my two favourite booktubers, The Book Leo and Emmy, both did some time ago, and I thought it looked like fun. It has, though, led me to wonder why on earth I've decided to start rereading books I've already read, perhaps even once a month, since that means less time working on getting through my to-be-read pile. Okay, so let's get some numbers. Before diving into my records and lists and whatnot, I thought I was pretty much on top of all the series I want to carry on reading. I listen to a lot of series on audiobook, and I add the next one to my library whenever I finish the previous one, so it's easy to keep track of where I'm up to and what books I most want to listen to next. Then I went through all my reviews of the last 20 years and counted 108 series that I DNF'd in that time, which was quite a surprise. Can you imagine how many books would be on my TBR list if I wanted to carry on with all of those series? So, because I'm me, I then made a spreadsheet of all the series I'm currently partway through that I do want to continue, and it's 33. And I've only read a book in 13 of them in the last year. And there are 6 where I last read an instalment more than 5 years ago, and for Malazan Book of the Fallen it's nearly 7 years, but then that's because those books are like 1,000 pages long and I can never remember where I'm up to or what is going on, but I do want to read the last 3 at some point. So, overall, it's a lot more than I thought it would be. And I only listen to about 25 to 30 audiobooks a year, so it's over a year's worth of books right there. Or about 6 months of reading physical books if I didn't read anything else. And it doesn't stop there. There are currently 47 books on my actual TBR shelf of books I own, of which 5 are continuations of series I'm in the middle of, and 3 are first books in new series I haven't started yet. On my wish list of physical books I want to read one day, there are 72 books, of which 5 are continuations of series I'm in the middle of, and 11 are first books in new series I haven't started yet. And then my wish list of audiobooks has 31 books on it, of which 13 are continuations of series I'm in the middle of, and 6 are first books in new series I haven't started yet. So, that's 150 books in total, which is less than 2 years of reading if I don't add any more, because of course that's going to happen, and in fact I added one between writing this script yesterday and recording it today, so yeah. But it's also 20 additional series of books that I want to start at some point in the future. So, I don't know, that's a lot. But maybe I ought to be encouraged by the fact that I apparently DNF more than 75% of series I start. So, yeah, I don't know. So many books, so little time. It's enough to spark some kind of existential crisis about what I'm doing with my life. Before I disappear into a black hole of despair in which I never pick up another book again, let's look at the reviews for some of the series I decided not to carry on with, because some of them are quite interesting. So, first up, I discovered the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series by Laurel K. Hamilton in 2006 and fell hard. According to my reviews record, I read the first 6 books in the space of 1 month. I don't have any reviews for the rest of the ones that I read in that series for some reason, which is alarming because it means that my reviews catalogue list is incomplete. How many other books and series am I missing? I remember somewhere around number 10 being my favourite, since it centred around a peripheral character rather than Anita herself, which made a refreshing change. But not long after that, as far as I remember, I started keeping track of the ratio between actual plot and gratuitous sex scenes, because this is paranormal romance with werewolves and vampires and all that jazz. When the sex tipped over into well past 50%, I decided to call it a day, because at the end, yeah, it's not really my thing. However, I will always be grateful to Anita Blake for introducing me to one of my all-time favourite authors, Sharon Shin, because those are the books that Anita reads on planes to distract her from her fear of flying. And I thought they sounded good, and I gave them a try, and I have never looked back. Next up, a DNF'd series that might prove controversial is The Wizard of Earthsea by Ursula K. Le Guin, especially since it's one of Dave's favourites. I gave it a try in 2009, and here's what I said. I didn't really get on very well with this. I thought it was a bit slow, and the prose was a bit dreary. It picked up a bit towards the end, but not enough to make me want to read the rest of the trilogy. The main character wasn't remotely appealing, and the story thus seemed a little pointless, as I didn't much care about what happened to him. So, short and not so sweet. I have heard similar things from other people I've talked to about this series, so I'm not alone, though I know it's massively beloved by a lot of other people. Next on the list is the Safehold series by David Weber. And this one is a bit like Anita Blake. Great start, with me getting through the first 3 pretty chunky books in 3 months in early 2010. I did read 3 more, but I eventually gave up after number 6 at the end of 2012. And my review of that one reads as follows. This was a particularly sad experience. 6th book in a series that I started out absolutely loving, but I gave up on this one after about 150 pages. To begin with, the series was about 75% awesome plot and characters and 25% discussions of rigging and weaponry. Annoyingly though, in this latest instalment, that ratio seems to have flipped. I found it increasingly difficult to wade through all of the discussions of gun design and eventually decided that skipping pages and pages in an attempt to find the interesting bits wasn't worth it. A real shame. So, in fact, very similar to Anita Blake, but with endless descriptions of weapons instead of all the sex. Next is another exercise in my memory being very faulty, because I thought the Felix Caster series by Mike Carey was going to be another disappointing one, because I remembered having real issues with the audiobook narrator, and that being the reason I gave up reading them. But apparently, my recollections are quite wrong. Mike Carey is the author of one of my all-time favourite pieces of media in any format, namely the Lucifer comics, so I was excited to find that he'd written also a series of novels about a professional exorcist in a world where ghosts are just generally wandering about all over the place. According to my records, I read the first 3 in physical form in 3 consecutive months at the tail end of 2010. And while I did have some issues with the structure and especially the massive amounts of exposition at the end of each book, I really enjoy the characters and overall storylines, with each book proving more enjoyable than the last. It took me 6 months to get round to reading number 4, but apparently it was still really good, and I read the fifth book in July 2011 and thought it would be a good place to end the series, which I thought it had. Then in 2016, I decided to revisit the series and listen to the audiobooks, and this is my review of the first one. I nearly didn't manage to listen to this all the way through because the narrator's accent was awful. Wikipedia says Michael Kremer is an award-winning American audiobook narrator of over 100 titles. And the key here is that he is American, and Castor is very much British. The book is set in London, and nearly all of the other characters are also British. Unfortunately, Mr. Kremer had evidently been told that to sound British, one must make use of only long vowel sounds. So, in the audiobook, things were made of plastic, people got into the passenger side of a car, and at one point, I think Castor, or should I say Castor, was slashed with a knife. Made me wince every time and threw me right out of the story, which is a shame because the story was actually quite good. I won't be continuing to listen to that series or any others narrated by Mr. Kremer, though I suspect any American books he narrates would be fine. So, having only remembered the audiobook experience, I listed this in a series I DNF'd when I was going through my records, when in fact I read the physical copies of all the books that had been published up until 2010. But then, on looking at Goodreads while writing this script, I discovered there's a sixth book that was published in 2023, 14 years after the last instalment. And as far as I'm concerned, that's just rude, since I can't remember anything that happened in the whole series, and I'm certainly not going to reread five whole books just so I can understand the last one and complete the series. So it actually turns out that it's a DNF series for me after all, which is annoying. When I embarked on this mini project, I had no idea what a roller coaster it would turn out to be. Fly by Night by Frances Harding is another one where my memory is worryingly faulty. I was given the first book as a Christmas present by my lovely brother in 2017, and I read it in January 2018, so not all that long ago in the grand scheme of things. The next Frances Harding book I read was Gullstruck Island in October 2022, which I know I absolutely loved. I remember picking it up in a charity shop and thinking it sounded interesting. And when I looked up the author, somehow by that time I was under the impression I didn't really like Fly by Night, so I never read the sequel. And I wouldn't be able to pick it up now because I can't remember what happened in the first one, a perennial problem it seems. However, looking back at my review from 2018, it says, "One of my Christmas presents was Fly by Night by Frances Harding, who seems to be winning a lot of awards for her novels. This is the first in a series about Mosca Mai, a little girl who gets embroiled in national politics and social unrest, accompanied by her faithful goose Saracen. It opens with two pages of background notes to the world and then a prologue that contains a potted history of the realm. This is a bold move, putting so much exposition at the very start, but the narrative itself is so well written and the world so fun and interesting that it mostly works. Things really pick up once we get to Mosca in the present day of the story, fleeing her village with Saracen after setting her uncle's mill on fire. What I loved most about this book was the language, really masterful description that serves more purposes than just explaining what things look like so doesn't slow down the narrative. Inventive and distinctive imagery that adds tremendous colour and a wonderful way with words, which fits with a protagonist who loves books and whose greatest desire is to expand her vocabulary. The plot does flounder a bit in the middle while Mosca wanders around a very adult world not really understanding what's going on literally over her head and not really having any agency. But it picks up dramatically towards the end when she decides to take action anyway and also takes responsibility for the consequences of her previous choices. There's a bit too much explanatory monologuing at the very end, but there are also several satisfying twists and overall it's tremendous fun. At one point, Mosca says, "I don't want a happy ending, I want more story. Me too, and I shall look forward to reading more of this series." So a major missed opportunity there, it seems. But then, I don't know, since it's only one book and it's not that long, maybe I could put it on my audio list and get around to re-listening to it at some... Oh, I don't know. Well, think about it. Next up, I was introduced to the Slow Horses series when the first one was selected by my dad for our family book club, and this is what my review from August 2018 says. The current family book club book is Slow Horses by Mick Herron, which introduces a set of MI5 operatives who have all been relegated to an undesirable posting as punishment for various mistakes they've made. I listened to the audiobook rather than reading a text version, which is the first time I've done that for book club. I started out ripping it to pieces, thinking about the things that made no sense, criticising the laboured and pedestrian writing, and jumping on the token woman being described as forgettable. But every time I thought of something wrong with it, the next few pages subverted my expectations. There were explanations, good descriptions, and several much more complex female characters to come. I realised after a while I was quite enjoying it. I mean, the main reason I couldn't criticise the female characters for being stereotypes was because pretty much all the characters were stereotypes, and some of them did gain some distinction as the book went on. None of them were likeable, in fact the only character I even remotely liked disappeared halfway through, never to return, but I did find myself entertained by their antics. Plus, the author caught my notice a few times with some elegant or amusing turns of phrase. It certainly wasn't high literature and it started to drag a bit towards the end, but it mostly fit together quite cleverly and it kept me reading overall. I won't be continuing with the rest of the series, but this was a reasonably enjoyable experience. This was another surprise when I looked it up yesterday, since again I was under the impression I really hadn't liked it. So much so that I massively resisted giving the TV adaptation a try when it came out in 2022, even though lots of people told me it was really good. I'm really glad I eventually gave in, since I've largely loved all three seasons to date, even though some of it is a bit too violent for my tastes. The last series I want to talk about is Empire in Black and Gold by Adrian Tchaikovsky. It was the first of his books I tried, which was another surprise when I looked it up, way back in 2013, and this is what I said at the time. I read 6 books in 2 weeks in the first half of January. Admittedly, they were all quite short, but that's still pretty good going. So when it took me an entire week to read 100 pages of this, I decided to give it up as lost. It wasn't bad per se, just not engaging enough to make me want to spend a lot of time reading it. Standard fantasy rite of passage story with a disparate group of youngsters going on an important mission together. So, I'm really surprised that I actually picked up any more of Tchaikovsky's books, though I'm really glad I did because I've read 6 of his others and loved all of them as far as I remember, though apparently I really can't trust my memory of these things. Several of the new series on my TBR are others of his that I haven't tried yet. I became such a fan that I actually tried Empire of Black and Gold again in 2019, and this time my review reads as follows. Continuing with my Adrian Tchaikovsky obsession, I recently read Empire in Black and Gold, the first in the epic fantasy Shadows of the Apt series, of which there are currently 10 novels completed. Sidebar, that makes it sound as though I hadn't remembered that I'd tried it before in 2013, which would not be a surprise at this point. Back to the review. Unfortunately, though the writing is good, the world is interesting and the characters are appealing, it didn't grab me enough to want to carry on with the series. Basically, there was just too much fighting and not enough of everything else. I was also confused by how the different types of humans are affiliated with different types of insects, as the rules by which their various abilities manifest aren't explained very clearly. It also falls into the every person within one racial type is the same trope. Ants fight, mantids bear grudges, beetles are stolid, spiders are sneaky, etc. Even if the protagonists themselves do have a certain amount of nuance within that. I did like the group of students thrown into a world of spying and intrigue well beyond their depth, and I also liked the way the bad guy developed into a more three-dimensional character as the novel went on. But I found myself skimming the battles more and more, and in the end it didn't feel as if there had been enough plot to fill a 600-page book. Having read other similarly martial series before, I suspect the balance of fighting versus character or plot will likely swing even further towards the fighting as things progress, so I'll be leaving it there. Lots more standalone Tchaikovsky to try though. So I did at least finish it on the second try, but still DNF'd the series again. And that's it for this episode of Reviews Revisited. It's been really interesting looking back at my reviews, though a little troubling that my perceived impressions of certain books I read just aren't accurate. At least it should make it more interesting as I revisit other things and analyse them in more detail in the coming months before comparing my 2024 views with what I thought the first time around and whether or not that's as I remember it. Many thanks as ever to Cambo for our theme music, and thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have any comments, or if you want to tell me about a time you revisited some media you love and whether or not you still loved it afterwards, you can email me at willyoustillloveit@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed writing it. If so, I'll see you in the next instalment where I'm going to revisit The Secret History by Donna Tartt, which I first read in 2010. If not, you can always just skip these episodes, and never fear, the regular ones will still be appearing monthly, with the next one being Black Sails in 2 weeks. Bye for now.